I invite your attention to the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to John. The 17th chapter of the Gospel according to John. And once you find that, I'll invite you to stand, please. And we are going to really consider just one verse of Scripture. If you would please stand. I thought about letting you stand the whole service. And this has to be the hardest message to stay awake during. And I understand that because I've been where you sit. And I know it's a challenge. We're going to have a brief look in the Word, but I trust that by God's grace it will be a spiritually encouraging look. I invite you to follow along with me as I read just the first few verses from the 17th chapter of the Gospel according to John. These things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. Even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given him, he may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. We pray by your Spirit that you would bless us as we look into your Word, that you would illumine our understanding to what is here, that you would be pleased with what takes place, that you would do the work that is necessary in each heart for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please. Thank you. Here in the 17th chapter, it says, These things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. Even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given him, he may give, look at those last two words, please, eternal life. When you hear the phrase eternal life, what do you think of? You know, I think for a lot of us, when we hear the word eternal life, we think of really long life. We think of never-ending life. We think of everlasting life. And thus, Jesus comes and gives to people with temporal life a longer life. And that's, I think, what we sometimes tend to think, almost as if it's maybe similar to grades of paint, if you will. If you have a painting project, guys, at home, and you go to the store, you can buy a very inexpensive gallon of paint. And if it's interior paint, it may say something like, warranted for 7 years. And then if you get up to maybe a mid-grade of paint, it will say warranted for, I don't know, 10 or 20 years. But if you want to buy an expensive gallon of paint, it may say something like warranted for 20 years. And I've even seen gallons of paint that say lifetime warranty. Now think about that, paint with a lifetime warranty. And you say, what's the difference between lifetime warranty and 7-year warranty? Well, we're talking about what we could call a quantitative difference. With the lower cost paint, you have a small amount of warranty. With the more expensive paint, you have a very large amount of warranty. That would be a quantitative difference. And so perhaps many people might think that if you don't know Christ, you have a shorter life. But if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you then get a longer life. You get eternal life. But that's not so. Because if we're going to define eternal as quantitative, every single person in the world has eternal life. You're going to live somewhere forever. I'm going to live somewhere if every single person in the world lives forever. If we define eternal life as quantitative, every one of us already has it. The Bible is clear that everyone will live in one of two places. Either I will live in eternal heaven or I will live in eternal hell. We won't turn there, but Jesus says this in Matthew 25. He says he gathers all the people together in the end times, and some will spend their time in eternal punishment. Some will spend their time in eternal life. And that's in Matthew 25, verse 46. eternal life versus eternal punishment. You might be thinking, wait a second. If eternal life is just as long as eternal punishment, then there's no quantitative difference. And that's exactly the point. People without eternal life live just as long as people with eternal life. We all live forever. You say, okay, then what does the word eternal really mean? When the Bible says that if we put our faith in Christ, we are blessed with eternal life, we don't get a longer life quantity. We get a different kind of life quality. What we're saying is we get a different kind, a qualitative difference. We get a different kind, not length, kind of life. This is what verse 3 says. Look at Jesus' definition, please, of eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee. I think it's so interesting what Jesus said. Eternal life is that they may know thee. Eternal life is not being something. If I said to you, do you have eternal life? You might say to me, Greg, I've been saved. And that's good. You might say, Greg, I've been born again. Isn't it interesting that Jesus did not say in verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they have had something done to them? Nor did he say that eternal life is doing something. I may say to you, do you have eternal life? And you might say, yeah, Greg, I have prayed to get saved. I have made a decision to get saved. I've already done that. And what you'd be doing is you'd be pointing to a historical event in the past. And you'd be saying, because of what I did when I was 5 years old, I have eternal life. Because of what I did when I was at vacation Bible school, I have eternal life. I prayed the prayer, I made the decision, I got saved, I was born again, whatever it took, that's what I did. That's how I know I have eternal life, and that is not how Jesus Christ describes eternal life. Because if you look again, please, at verse 3, what do you see? Jesus says, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee. He doesn't say that once in the past you've come to know. He doesn't say that something took place historically, even though something would have to begin at a point in time. Jesus is saying that eternal life is actually knowing God. Not knowing about God, but knowing God. That eternal life equals knowing God. You say, what does it mean to know God? People to know means to have a personal relationship with. Maybe a marriage illustration would help. Those of you that are married have a spouse, and I'm assuming things are going well in your marriage. I would say to you, do you know your husband? Or I would say, for example, to you guys, do you know your wife? And you would say, yes, I know my spouse. I would say, okay, what does it mean to know your spouse? You would say, I have a relationship with her. I say, well, what does that mean? You say, well, we spend time together. We enjoy each other's company. We do things together. We wake up and we greet each other. Before we go to sleep, we speak to one another. When we have time, we like to do fun things together. If I could use maybe a younger person's term, we even like to hang out together. Or I guess that's old-fashioned. Now I got to drop the out. We like to hang together. That's what me and my spouse do. That's a relationship. That's what it means to know someone. My wife had a birthday recently, and I was excited. And I was looking forward to surprising her. She's taking a class just for fun. It's an 8 o'clock class in the university. So I thought, you know, she's in there with a bunch of undergrads, you know, people that are much younger than we are.
And I thought it would be fun to do something that would let them all know it's her birthday. So occasionally I go into school early, so I just headed into school early that day and just bought flowers and a balloon. And I know where her seat is because I peeked through the door when she hadn't been watching me one day. So I went to her seat and I tied the happy birthday balloon with Elmo on it, I think it was. And I put the balloon on her chair and I put the flowers on her desk. And I put that in the classroom. There's a screen for the overhead. I put the screen up and I took chalk and I turned it sideways so that it would make very large letters. And I wrote in very big letters, "Happy birthday, Nancy. Love, Dr. Mazak." And I put that on the board. And I thought, this is really going to be fun. And I teach at 8 o'clock. And so at about 5 or 10 to 8, I'm going to peek my head in the room. And the students will be there and they'll be congratulating her. "Oh, Mrs. Mazak had a birthday," and it'll be fun. And I completely forgot that she goes to school early. So here I am, and it's about 5 to 8. I peek into the room. No balloon, no flowers, no writing. And I said, "What did you do?" And she said, "You forgot I come here early." And she had time to erase the board, take the flowers, take the balloon, stick it in the van, close the door, get back to the classroom, and no one knew. And my initial feeling actually was great disappointment that I had been outsmarted. But because I have a relationship with my wife, that is something that I enjoyed at least trying to do. Okay? See, in verse 3, Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they may know thee." Kenneth Weiss puts it this way in his translation: "This is the eternal life, that they might be having an experiential knowledge of you." Eternal life is an active, living relationship with Jesus Christ. It is not being, as we've heard pastors say many times, an official Christian. Are you a Christian? "Well, I'm not a Jew, right? I'm not a Muslim. You know, I'm not whatever, a Taoist. I'm not a Buddhist. Yeah, I guess I'm a Christian. Sign me up for that one. Check the box." That's not what Christ is saying here. Christ is saying that this is eternal life, that they may know thee. That we would have an experiential, active relationship with God. You say, okay, what does that mean? The same thing it means with your spouse, or if you're a younger person, with the boyfriend, the girlfriend, or just with any friend for that matter. You know, for example, do you enjoy spending time worshiping your God? Do you enjoy coming to church? Do you wake up and say, "You know, I'm looking forward to worshiping a Trinity. I'm looking forward to having the song leader stand up. I'm looking forward to singing praises to my God." You say, "Well, why would you do that?" The same reason we enjoy birthday parties. You know, if you're having a birthday party for your mom or your dad, or for your son or your daughter, for most of us, now I realize there might be some planning that can be a little bit maybe tedious, but for most of us, we look forward to birthday parties. "Hey, this is my mom's birthday party." We get excited. "This is my dad's birthday party." We get excited. Why? Because I have a relationship with this person. I know him. I know her. What do we do when we come to worship? It's almost as if it were a celebration similar to a birthday party. Christ died on the cross, rose from the dead, did it for me. What a blessing. I would love to praise him corporately. Why? Because I have a relationship with him. If I have a relationship with him, I would enjoy talking with him. We call that prayer. Do you enjoy talking with God? You say, "I say my prayers every night." Well, that's good. But do you enjoy talking with your God? You know, I'm talking about, guys, are you ever pushing the lawnmower talking to your God? And you say, "Well, if I did, would that count for evening prayers?" No, that's not the point. Just saying, "Lord, what a beautiful day that you've made, and you're wonderful, and I want to praise you. Thank you for the blessings that I have, because everything good, it's from you." Maybe you're in the house washing dishes and you just begin to say, "Lord, I love you." You say in the middle of dishes, why not? "Lord, I love you." And I'm so glad that Christ died for me. And I praise you. That's a relationship with God. When you have a relationship with someone, you like to listen to them. I enjoy saying to my daughters, how did school go? And what's going on in class? And, well, Daddy, I had a test, or I had a quiz, or, you know, hey, Dad, we did something special in soccer. And I say, well, tell me about it. I enjoy listening. Why? Because I have a relationship with them. Do I enjoy spending time in the Word? Why? So God can speak to me. Do I ever meditate on what I hear? I mean, it's not a relationship meditation. I guess this is a high school thing, but you find in the notebooks of the young guys the names of their current girlfriends, right? You know, Susie, I love Susie, and those kind of things. And I realize that might be somewhat high schoolish, and I guess those of us who've been married longer, we normally don't doodle the names of our spouses, but hopefully we still think of them because we have a relationship with them. Do we do that with God? When we come together and sing, when we open up a service and you sing the words of the song, do you ever find it hard not to let a tear go down your cheek? Because you are overwhelmed of the message of the song as you reflect on the goodness of your God. See, we are so into this thing of, yeah, I'm saved, Greg. I have eternal life because I did something back there. I said the prayer. I raised the hand. I even shook the preacher's hand. I filled out the card and I was baptized. It's official. Count me in. And Jesus says none of that, even though that is certainly important. In verse 3, Jesus says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." We're not talking about just, I'm a spiritual person. I know there's a God. Jesus said, look towards the end of verse 3, the only true God. We're not talking about the higher power of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're not talking about Allah. And the Muslims say, well, there's only one God. We just call him a different name. No. It says the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The only way to know the true God is through the revelation of the Son, and that is Jesus Christ. And because of Christ and what he's done on the cross, we can have a personal relationship with God. My question this morning for all of us is not, do you have eternal life? My question is, do you have a personal relationship with God? Do you go through life talking to your God? Do you honestly, as you go through the day, think about your God? Is this something that you would have? 2 points to make in conclusion. One a concern and one a praise. I am incredibly concerned as an individual that works with youth and as a teacher of college students that our churches and our schools are filled with people who are theologically, intellectually convinced that they have eternal life, although they show no evidence of knowing God. You never hear them talk about God unless it's on a quiz in Bible class. You never hear them sharing a verse. Just doesn't happen. You say, why? Well, probably for the same reason why if you don't have a girlfriend, you tend not to talk about any girls because there's no relationship. You say, well, what if there's no relationship? Then the Bible says there's no eternal life. Why do so many people get bummed, if I could say it that way, when they have to come to church? You know why? For the same reason that I'd be bummed to go to a birthday party and I didn't know the guy who was having the birthday. If you called me up and said, Greg, I got an uncle. He has a birthday coming up. You want to come to the party? I would say, no, I don't know your uncle. It sounds boring. Why would I want to sit at a table and sing happy birthday to a guy I don't even know? And you would say, yeah, but I'm excited about this, Greg. I have a relationship with this guy. And I would say, but I don't. It's different for you. Is that maybe why we stand up to sing And we have people that stand up and whether gifted or some of us less gifted, people stand up and sing out and they praise God, and other people, whatever, because there's no relationship. Is that why maybe listening to preaching becomes burdensome? Is that why reading the scriptures is not a blessing? I'm reading about a person I really don't know. I am absolutely convinced, and I hate to limit it to one age group, so I'll broaden it, that in Christendom, we have many people, maybe people as old as me, maybe older, people that have done something historically, but there is no living relationship. You know what Christ said? The relationship is eternal life. He didn't even say the relationship gets you eternal life. Did you get that? Jesus did not say, and this is eternal life. It's the result of knowing God. Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you. Knowing God is eternal life. You don't know God and then you get something at the end. Knowing Him is actually life itself. My number one concern is there are many people, perhaps, who have no evidence of a personal relationship with God. But to end on a positive note this afternoon, I simply share with you a praise. The praise is that we can know God. Think about that. That I can know God. Now, that's exciting. People get excited over knowing famous people. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever met anyone that knows someone that's famous and they brag about it? You know, maybe it's a famous sports hero. You might know somebody that says, you know what, I used to live on the same street as that guy. And you would go, no way. Yeah, I don't believe. I did. I lived on the same street as that guy playing quarterback. No way. For real. Did you know him? Well, not really, but I drove by his house. And it was the same street. And we say, you did not. I don't know if any of you would know. I know one person in the back row might know the name Ray Fosse. We have a couple of big baseball fans, and he's giving me a shake of the head. The Cleveland Indians used to have a catcher, all-star team, named Ray Fosse. You probably never heard of him because the Cleveland Indians typically did not have very good baseball teams. But they had an all-star catcher, and I played catcher. And I had a poster of Ray Fosse in my bedroom. I'll never forget, I was a 6th or 7th grader at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and we had a special convocation, and they invited Ray Fosse to come. I was very excited. There in the basement of the church of Our Lady of Mount Carmel was Ray Fosse. And I was there. And I even got a paper plate signed with his name. And I hung it on my wall. And I was so excited. I'd have kids from the public school come over and I'd say, come here, I want to show you what's on my wall. I would say, look who signed that. They would say, who is that? I'd say, Ray Fosse. They'd say, he did not. He did too. I saw him. Ray Fosse signed that plate. And they would look at me like, wow, you have Ray Fosse. And that was a big deal because I actually shook his hand and got him to sign a paper plate. I spoke to him for, whatever, 3 seconds or something. And I was excited about that. You say, that's kid stuff. I don't think so. I was reading the sports page in the Greenville News. They had a fishing article in the back of the sports section on Sunday. There's a fishing hunting thing. And they had, this was probably a couple years ago now, they had a guy that charters fishing expeditions on Lake Hartwell. And he had an out-of-town reservation that was booked in advance. And so people from out of town gave him the credit card number so that he would take them fishing, I guess for bass, on Lake Hartwell. I hope that's the right type of fish there. And when the guy showed up, he realized it was none other than Bob Dylan. He was actually going to take Bob Dylan fishing. Now, he's a famous person who used to sing folk music, and then he went over into rock music and is considered something of a rock icon today. They put a picture of this guy in the paper, a big picture. He had his picture in the paper. You say, why? Because that was the guy who drove the boat on which Bob Dylan went fishing. That's big stuff, you know? This and the idea was you're supposed to read this article. And the article was about what was it like taking Bob Dylan fishing. And it was like, wow. I mean, what could be better? This guy actually took Bob Dylan fishing. I mean, he gets a big picture in the paper. That's exciting because he actually knew for 2 hours or whatever, 3 hours, a rock star. The Bible says that eternal life is knowing God. That I can have a personal relationship with God. And I think the problem is we get so used to it that we think, yeah, I'm saved. I've done that. Yeah, I've trusted Christ. I've done that. Yeah, I've been born again. I've done that. And we forget what a blessing it is simply to wake up and say, I know God. This is the essence of eternal life. Jesus said in John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. To have eternal life is to know God, something that every one of us who knows Christ can rejoice in. I trust if you're here this afternoon and don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that you'll come to the place of receiving His gift of eternal life. And for those of us who have received that gift, I trust that we'll rejoice in knowing truly what a privilege it is to actually know God. Let's pray. Father, we certainly have no answer to the question of why You would give us eternal life, why You would bless us, why You would choose us. Lord, why You would have Christ die for our sin. But Father, we thank You for eternal life. We thank You that we can have a personal relationship with You. Father, we magnify Your name this afternoon. We magnify the work of Christ. We thank You, Father, that we can speak to You, that we can hear from You, that we can fellowship with You. We thank You, Father, for the goodness that You have shown to us. Father, if there are those this afternoon who are maybe official Christians and maybe some who would not even claim to be official Christians, I pray, Father, that You'd open their eyes to the gospel, that You would warm their hearts. Lord, You did it for Lydia many years ago, and You can do it for them today. Father, if that be the need of anyone here in this room, we pray, Lord, by the power of Your Spirit, that that individual would come to have a relationship with You. Father, for those who already do, we pray that it would grow, that it would increase, that we would find great joy in it, and that You would find us praising You for it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.